Now, I want to read, I should have put the reference down here. But one of the things, there's a verse, and we'll be getting into Daniel shortly here, but there's a verse that has had dramatic impact upon the world, literally upon the world, and that was, there was a Catholic priest that was reading. I don't know if he's reading in German or if he was reading in Latin, but he is reading the Old Testament, and he came to a verse in Habakkuk 2:4, and the very end of 2:4 says, "But the righteous shall live by his faith." Now, that had a dramatic impact upon him when he came to a realization that salvation was by faith. Now, not to take umbrage or be contrary to Martin Luther, I'm thankful for the realization of the power of faith and the means of justification by faith that Martin Luther realized in reading this verse. But Habakkuk 2:4 is actually looking about something for the believer's life. Now, Habakkuk chapter 1 and leading into chapter 2 and verse 4, Habakkuk is learning about, first of all, he's looking at Israel, and he's seeing how wicked and perverted they are. And he's standing back, shaking his head. And God also pronounces judgment, and this does have something to do with the book of Daniel, and that is the promise of the Chaldeans coming down in all of their military might and destroying the last vestiges of Israel. And Habakkuk was, he just stepped back and he's shocked and discouraged. He's discouraged by the wickedness of Israel, and he's also discouraged at the destruction of Israel. There's all these promises that God has had for the nation of Israel. There's all these things that they should be having and they should be doing. And Habakkuk 2:4, it comes to it and says, "But the righteous shall live by his faith." This morning we're going to look at the faith of Daniel. And the point of looking at this verse before we go into the last part of Daniel chapter 6 is I want us to think about Daniel's faith and reaction to the test that he's going through. Now, this is very important. I think there's one of the broader Christianity. One of the things that happens is there's two concepts that get mashed together or confused or turned around. There's two great concepts. There's more than these two concepts with salvation, but there's these two great, these are the predominant aspects of salvation. One is justification and one is sanctification. Justification is how am I made right? And the other one is sanctification, how am I made holy? And we take the stand here that we are made just or righteous by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection. By putting our faith in him, we have eternal life. That's justification. Sanctification is something that follows justification, and that is where we become more and more set apart for God and his work and what he would have us to be. In other words, sometimes we use the term Christ-likeness, where we look more like our Savior. So those two concepts, we should never confuse those. Now, this is very important here. Justification is all by faith. Is 100%. Guess what? Sanctification is all by faith as well. And they both go hand in hand. Now this brings us up to the other problem, and that is, if it's by faith, what is faith? Now we could go to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at some of the definitions there, but faith is simply believing. Believing what God says. When it comes to salvation, it's simply believing what God says about redemption, that Jesus Christ has paid for our sins, That is justification. Sanctification, in one sense, is even more complicated because there's one thing to believe to be justified. And sanctification, that faith now has all the aspects of our life. And we have the whole of Scripture to begin looking at and believing and trusting and following. So there's commands and principles in the Scripture to follow. On top of that, and that's why the series that we're going to go into is very important as well, when we're looking at the names of God. Because there's principles and commands that we see in the Scripture, and we go, okay, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to obey that. I'll do what He says and I'll trust Him for the results. There's other aspects of faith and trust where it comes to this. Well, I don't know what God would have me to do here. It hasn't been specifically stated in the Scriptures what I should do here, but I know the character and nature of God as what is revealed in Scripture, and I'm going to behave according to that. So those are two aspects of faith when it comes to sanctification. And we'll see those things as Daniel lives out his faith in the book of Daniel here, and you can turn to Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 6, the situation, as we remember, Daniel's been promoted. The Medes and Persians have taken over the Babylonian Empire, and the general that's put over the Babylonian portion of the empire, Darius, he's promoted to a king. He's at the very least a it'd be our view of like a vice president, if you want to think of it as that way. He's an under king. He's not the king of the whole kingdom. He is a king under the king that has subjugated the Babylonians. He begins forming the government. He gets these 120 satraps, and Daniel ends up getting promoted that he will be the number one official under Darius. Now these satraps, these other officials, they're jealous. They want Daniel's position. And they realize the only way to get that position is to get Daniel out of the way. And so they begin plotting and scheming on how to do it. There's only one way that they're going to get Daniel out of the way, and that is if it's something to do with his relationship to the God of Israel. That's the only way they're going to trap him. He's faithful. He's a man of character, and they can't get him out other than that. By the way, isn't that an encouraging thing to think about? And isn't that a goal to be set? That if we're going to be entrapped by anyone, it's going to be done in regards to our faithfulness to the God of heaven. And that was something well said of Daniel here. Now, I want us to start looking at what happens here as he's getting ready to be entrapped and thrown into the lion's den. I want us to view his faith here. Now, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, 'O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdoms, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked.' Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction." He was readily entrapped by this flattery. Now, verse 10 through 12 will bring us to our first point here. It says, "When Daniel knew the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then when these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God, then they came near and said before the king, concerning the injunction, 'O king, did not you sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'This thing stands fast, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked.'" Now, the very first thing that we see here is Daniel's faith was not prudent. Now, this sounds kind of odd. Let me put it another way. It wasn't very rational. When we come to it, there's a lot of times when we come to the commands, principles, and character of God, when we order our life by a life of faith, when we weigh it in the rationality of mankind, it doesn't seem prudent. It doesn't seem wise. It would make a real, in fact, Dan, I'm like, Dan, are you going to ruin my sermon this morning? He starts into this, you know, talking about this. Wouldn't it have been wiser for Daniel just to go, you know what? God really doesn't need my prayers. God will be God, and he will survive without me praying for 30 days. In fact, you know, I'll still even pray, but instead of going up into the very top of my abode here where the windows are open and everybody can see me, I'll pray in secret, I'll go hide away. I'm going to change my behavior. All I have to do it is for 30 days. That would make sense. There's often times when it comes to obedience to God, and by the way, there's no command that you need to pray 3 times a day. There's no specific commands on how we're to pray. There's, in fact, no command that you should go to the top of your roof and let everybody see you pray. But Daniel is acting in accordance here with the very character and nature of God. People knew what his habits were. What would have happened if Daniel would have went down into his basement and prayed? Okay, we've got him. We've changed his behavior. We've changed his relationship to God. But his faith was not prudent. By the way, we will come to points in our lives where when we need to make a decision and we know what God's word says and we know what principles are, or we know a principle in God's word, or we know the character of God, that is going to be a challenge for us to live it out. In fact, I think that's going to become more and more the course of our society, where there's going to be a conflict between what God's word says and what man says, and what are we going to choose? Faith is not prudent. Faith does not make sense. Now, we'll talk more about that in a moment, but had he changed, and this happens so often, it would have been self-serving. Okay, I'm going to take care of myself, Lord. You know, just this once. I will take care of myself for 30 days and I'll watch out for it. Number two, it would have been fear-based. I'm afraid of what these guys are going to do. By the way, when we make decisions based off of fear instead of faith, do you know what ends up happening? We create a habit of living fearfully. And it becomes more and more and more. Less faith, more fear. They end up becoming antithetical, and there's a dissent in our nature here. By the way, also when we begin making decisions based off of the situation and circumstances, our morality and our relationship to God becomes erratic. Our behavior becomes different. The reason why Daniel was faithful in all things was he was also a man of faith. So if we're going to be consistent, if we're going to be faithful, if we're going to be serving of God, we need to be people of faith. It is not always going to make sense when we look at it on this horizontal level of the way this world works. Now, I don't think this is in reality what, when we look at it in the broad scheme of things, what faith works out to be. It makes more sense than making decisions without faith. But we'll talk more about that. Daniel's faith also gave him problems. Now, this is, I think, contrary to what is so often taught about faith today. If I have faith, I will get rid of my problems. Just have enough faith. That's sort of the message in drumbeat. There's people that fill auditoriums, stadiums. They fill them full of people. That if you have just enough faith. By the way, that's sort of treating faith as a substance in and of itself. What gives our faith power, what gives it strength is what our faith is in. It's not the amount of our faith. What is it that Jesus Christ said? You know, if you have, someone help me, I know what it is, but help me with this. If you have faith as a mustard seed, what could you do? Move mountains, or in the one case, take the sycamore tree and cast it in the sea. So there's a couple of different things you can do with faith. It's saying, yeah, just a tiny bit. It doesn't take heaps of faith in order to do great things. It just takes the faith in the right object. And the right object is God and His Word. So Daniel's faith did bring him problems. He could have avoided these problems. And again, there's a farce to this. There's a fakeness to this because this is based on human mentality. He could have made different decisions. He could have decided, again, to hide himself, and he would have been okay. Doesn't that make sense? It would have been better to sort of compromise things just a little bit here. But his faith brought him problems. The third thing here, Daniel's faith proclaimed God. Now, at the point that we finished reading, Daniel had displayed his faith, and then all the satraps go to Darius and go, guess what? Guess who we caught praying? Just the thing that you signed this document the other day, guess who we caught doing it? Now, in the case with the Medes and Persians, the law was, once it was signed, you were stuck with it. That was what it was. Darius was as much a subject to the law as everyone else in the kingdom. So he had no choice in order to maintain his authority other than to fulfill what he had signed. Look what it says in verse 13 and following. It says, then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Not just once. You know, not once just out of 30 days. He's going to be doing this 90 times. He should be in a lot of trouble. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed. Set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. By the way, it caused problems for someone else. It caused problems for Darius. This is a little of an aside here. There's well-meaning people that are going to have challenges because of our faith. They don't want to cause us problems, but our faith doesn't make sense to them and doesn't work in their world. But Darius is put in this tizzy. He's put in this dangerous, in this situation, and he labors. He's trying to think of a way out. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or an ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signer of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. By the way, that's pretty ironic. You know, you get a picture here. Here's the lions all laying around asleep, and Daniel's sort of warm and cozied up to some lion there. And here, Darius is walking back and forth. He can't eat, and he can't sleep, and he's the one that's distraught. Verse 19, then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast in the den of lions. They, their children, their wives, and before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end." The fourth thing that we see here, or the third thing that we see here, is Daniel's faith proclaimed God. When we exercise our faith, we have an opportunity to be a witness to the power of God. One of the challenges is when we have the pressures of life that it's easy to say, hey, I'll compromise here and I'll fit in and I will do things the world's way because it'll just work out better. But every time we do that, we will compromise our witness before the world. In this case here, Daniel put his faith in God. He was going to get in trouble. He was going to get ran over. He was going to be destroyed. Literally, he was going to be eaten by lions. And yet, instead of acting out of fear, he acted out of faith. And because he did that, Darius here becomes one that proclaims the very name of God. Number four, we see that Daniel's faith preserved him. As we read here, in verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. They have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and before you. O king, I have done no harm." And then we see the reason why is in verse 23 at the very end there, it says, "And no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God." Faith ends up preserving us. Again, oftentimes when we come to the commands and directions in the Scripture, we can think, that's going to cause me harm. I'm going to get in trouble if I obey the Lord in this. If I speak to this person in the way that the Lord would direct me to, if I do the things that you would have me to do, I'm going to suffer loss here. But God preserves us in his faith. Let's look at two other things here. One other thing here. We see that Daniel's faith prospered him, and this brings some of the earlier points to the point. If you notice at the very end of the situation, after Daniel's brought out of the lion's den, and it's kind of a gruesome detail, Darius rounds up all the satraps, actually all of his family, all their wives and children, and throws them into the lion's den. Now, earlier on, if you think about it, when Daniel came up to the decision, okay, do I continue praying to the God of heaven? All I have to do is 30 days. 30 days of not praying, or 30 days of sneaking in prayers. I'll just stand here, I'll pray to God, I'll pray with my eyes open, I'll pray in such a way that nobody knows that I'm doing this prayer stuff. And I'll be okay. God will be okay, no harm, no foul. If you think about it, at the end of 30 days, do you think all the satraps that were looking to destroy him would have said, okay, you know, we gave it our best shot, it's all done. You know, he won, Daniel won, we'll leave him alone now. That is one of the deceptions when we compromise in areas of our faith. We think, hey, I'll be better off if I don't exercise faith here. If I just do it my own way. God, I got this one. I know what you tell me to do here, but I'm a little smarter than you on this. You don't know my particular situation. You didn't figure that out. I'll figure it out. I'll take care of it. I'm a little smarter than you. I'll skirt the truth here. I'll make a compromise there. Whatever it takes, and I'll work out my situation. The truth is, had Daniel done that, we would have not seen, A, his preservation under the hand of God, but we would also not see the fact that those that were out to destroy him, in fact, get destroyed themselves. Now, what is the point? What does it come down to here? Because really the point here in this last portion of the chapter is the fact that Daniel is trusting God. Let me ask you, what does your daily faith look like? Are you trusting in the Lord? Now, there's a couple of things that are required for us to be people of faith. First of all, we need to know God's word. We need to know, what would God have me to do here? If we don't know the specific things that God calls us to do, how do we trust the Lord in those? Two, we need to know God's character. What is the character of God? How would he take some of these situations that are not specifically addressed in the scripture? How would he choose, or what would he have me choose in those situations? And number three, we need to be people of prayer. When it comes to situations in our life, do we bring those decisions before the Lord and seek his face? We need to do that through, of course, being in God's word, but also turning to him in prayer. Let me ask you, how is your faith? Is it very specifically applied to your life circumstances? Or is it, this sort of fuzzy feeling that we have? Faith is not a feeling. It's an action of putting our trust in what God has called us to do and putting our trust in who God is. Daniel trusted. Daniel put his faith in God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told, he stopped the mouths of lions because of his faith. What are the challenges, what are the circumstances in your life that God may... By the way, God wasn't surprised about the circumstances that were coming into Daniel's life. But what are the circumstances that may make you want to feel like, hey, I want to change my course. I'm not going to act in faith, I'm going to act out of fear. I challenge you and encourage you, trust the Lord. Turn to him and see what God is going to do. Let's go and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Daniel. I thank you that he lived out a life that was exemplary. We can follow his example and we can be men and women of faith. Lord, those areas, those challenges where we want to sacrifice our character, our walk. Lord, let us be men and women of faith. Lord, let us bring praise and glory and honor in you by what we say and what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.